Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimak and I am thrilled to be here with you today on the show. We got a great program for you. We want to kick it off with prayer, and I'll tell you who is coming up on the show after the prayer. But as we go into this prayer, let's remember a couple of things. Number one, the Lord is with us wherever we are. He really is with us, and it's so easy to forget that. He's with us, and he is waiting to hear from us. So let's pray together. We've got a couple of important intentions. I mean, obviously, you have your own intentions. We're going to pray that he speaks through us during the show. But you're probably aware, a very serious story in the Bucks County area. There are four young men who are missing. In the press conference yesterday, it was stated that foul play is suspected. So it's a serious situation. But we don't. All we want to do is we want to pray. We want to remember them. We want to ask the Lord for the best, that this situation may turn out for the best, and for peace for their families as they're going through this. The other thing is we yesterday had Bobby Schindler on the show talking about this Charlie Gard story. Very, very big story. They were granted yesterday in the court another hearing on Thursday, which will determine whether Charlie will be allowed to come to the United States for treatment. So we want to keep these intentions as well as all of our needs in prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us to another day. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. No matter what we do, you will never stop loving us. Thank you for that. You have created us. We are so grateful for that. You created us to live with you one day in heaven. For now, we are here. We're here on this earth, and we need your help big time. So, Father, we turn to you. We ask you to help us. Help us get through the day with whatever we're facing. We lift up the situation with these four young men who were missing in Bucks County. We ask you to keep them safe. Let it turn out for the best, Father. We ask you to continue to guide the judges as they decide on the fate of Charlie Gard. Be with their parents as well. Give them the peace that they need. Please allow his life to be spared and him to get the treatment that he needs. Father, we present our own needs to you, whatever they may be. You handle them for us. You could do a much better job than we can. Also, we ask you to speak through us on the radio program today. We are here at your service to speak your message. Give us the words, please, Father, and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, amen. I did mention at the start of the program, we've got some great guests. Here's who we have coming up on the program today. We're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma, who has been doing a series with us on his book, Bible Basics for Catholics. Today we'll talk about the covenant that God made with Abraham. I think you're going to find this very interesting, especially since Abraham has been in the first reading for the past several weeks if you go to Daily Mass. So we'll hear about that covenant. Also, Elizabeth Scalia, who blogs over at aletheia.org, she recently wrote an article, What Was Catholic Convo Actually About? And of course, this is the Catholic convocation that we have heard about in Orlando, I guess, last week. It was sponsored by the USCCB. What was it all about? The article states, well, hold on to your hats. So she's going to break it down and give us the true story. I'm tired. I need a break. I need to
He's getting a little blue in the face there, boy. You're on a roll.
I have some other guys who want to speak with you today and speak with me. By my side, or actually in front of me, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hi, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning,
what
brother.
What a great piece you just did.
Well, thank you.
It was really good.
Well, thank you. Frank Elias
is here.
Good morning.
Our director of operations. Boys, today is a big day.
Uh-oh.
You know what do we do now?
What's the date? Dave Parker, what's today's date?
The Slurpee 11th.
Day.
That's right, 7-11. And what does that mean?
Free Slurpees, 7-Eleven.
That's right. So did you get your free Slurpee?
Not yet.
Well, listen.
No, I went to a 7-Eleven.
Now I got my coffee. Now I told him about it. He's going to take off. But anyway, yeah, free Slurpees today. It's a big day.
Yeah, exciting. I saw that. I did see that. Actually, I saw that courtesy of your wife there, Mr. Parker.
Oh, really?
Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
So thanks, Barbara.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things people will talk about in social media. It's one of the good things people will talk about
yes.
in social
Absolutely.
Media.
Yeah.
Talk a lot of bad things. But, you know.
Free Slurpees are great.
By the way, you're going to enjoy this when Elizabeth Scalia comes on. One of the things she touches on in her article is that the internet has become divided.
Yes.
So that's, I know that's...
Shocking.
Yeah.
So I thought you were going to say she is behind the free Slurpees.
So that gives... So that gives us an idea about where we can go into missionary territory, right?
Exactly. And I would also suggest that not only listen during that segment, also later on today, during the homily by Archbishop Chaput, he discusses... this a little bit. Not to the extent you're about to. So that's during the 3 o'clock hour.
It's about 3:40-ish.
Yes.
3:40 to about about 15 minutes.
It's a 20-minute homily. 21 minutes, to be precise.
I didn't load it, folks. Frank did.
When he speaks, it is definitely worth a listen.
He gives great homilies in general. He's, I just saw him in person, so I had a piece of the homily. It was quite interesting because, some of the same stuff, but also some different stuff when I was going through it yesterday. So, but yes, definitely pay attention. His homilies are fantastic.
They are.
He's a great educator.
He really is. And he's so honest. He does not hold back.
That's right.
And that's what we need. We need some truth and honesty.
Well, I was listening to one of the shows, and they're really talking about, we need catechesis, yes. We need apologetics, yes. We need evangelists.
Yes.
And he kind of brings all of those together. He actually connects those
dots. Yes, he does. And real quickly, and he is, in a way, matter of fact, but very steady, And
good point.
Yeah, he's not, fire and brimstone, but he as you say, he's an educator. And he has a tone about himself that, conveys all that. Very well. Very matter
steady.
Of fact. Very steady.
That's a good way to describe him. He doesn't fly off the handle. He just is very steady. He's a great shepherd for us here.
Yes.
We're a product of our history.
Right.
And, he has certain Midwestern sensibilities about him.
Right. Yes.
He, also went, was in Colorado prior to here, has sensibilities that come from that. And then he comes here. He talks a little bit about this in this homily.
Okay.
So I don't want to get too far into it.
So that'll be 3 o'clock today.
Three o'clock hour, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, let's take a quick look at the weather here in the Delaware Valley. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 77 degrees. Today, we'll have a slight chance of showers. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Otherwise, sunny, high near 93 tonight. Chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before 2 a.m. We'll have a low around 76. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 7 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 92. At the moment, in Doylestown, where we are, it's 72 degrees. In Phoenixville, it's 70 degrees. And at Bensalem, it is 77 degrees. All right, Frank Eliason, it is 7:08 on the dot. And I promised you. See, Frank was laughing at me today. I said, I want to do the gospel at 7:08 today, and I'm about to deliver.
I can hold you off on that. I can start talking about all kinds of other things.
You can.
It's now 8 and 20 seconds.
I'm trying to get organized here, and everybody's being mean to me. So I want you at home to realize that they are treating me unfairly here.
Well, and just
I'll get you a Slurpee. What's your favorite flavor?
Exactly. Get him a cherry Slurpee. He'll be good.
I love cherry Slurpee.
Exactly.
All right, better. We're back.
Now we need a Three Stooges sound effect, and we're good. But one thing I'm going to probably mention at the end of the show, probably a few times during the course of this week, one thing that is about to happen one day, and we don't know exactly when, we are going to be painting our towers. And so when that happens, we're going to have to, in Doylestown, go to lower power.
Okay.
And so that way... The painters can climb safely.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, please keep that in mind. You can always listen on HolySpiritRadio.org, but it is a necessity that we do this. It's for safety of flight. Mm-hmm. It's one of those expenses that happen in radio that you wouldn't even think about. Mm-hmm. So very grateful for our donors who make this even possible. That we could afford to do it, but it's one of those we have to do.
Yes.
So just so people are aware that's most likely happening one day this week.
And it's good that you mentioned that, Frank, because that's one of the things we don't think about. Mm-hmm. We don't think about the expense of painting the towers. And might I make a suggestion about that? If you want to get the painting done at maybe a cheaper rate, I believe Mr. Parker is available.
Mr. Parker, I'm going to get you 2 bags of paint.
Okay.
And then what I'd like you to do is climb the 212-foot towers.
Oh, my God.
And a very strong safety harness. I wasn't training.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm afraid of heights. I cannot imagine.
People have to realize the tower is basically the width of me. I mean, it's not very wide, and it's straight up.
Wow.
And so, yes, they're going to climb the 212 foot, and it's red. You know, well, it's technically
I did my
orange.
Training at Bounce U. Okay?
Orange, white, and they're literally going to go up and paint the orange and the white and the orange all the way up to the top. And so, yes, we'll get some pictures
Let
of that.
Me at it. Let me at it.
That's,
I'm ready.
That's incredible. Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the gospel now, according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 38. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvest." We have a lot going on in this gospel. The first thing, once again, Jesus drives a demon out of somebody, and the people are saying, "Well, he's doing it by the power of the devil." Again, we have somebody looking at the good deeds of Christ and saying, "All right, this guy's up to something. He's doing it with the devil's help." Mm-hmm. We're all going to get that. We're going to try to do good things for people, and somebody will say, "Yeah, he's just doing that because he wants attention, because he's got an ulterior motive." Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that. You do things that you're supposed to do for the right reason, just like Jesus did. The other thing I want you to get out of this gospel is the fact that we are told by St. Matthew that the heart of Jesus was moved with pity for the people. His human heart is moved with pity for you and for me. Keep that in mind. Whatever you're facing today, Jesus really does care. We're told that he was concerned because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. What did he say? "Pray that the master of the harvest may send out laborers." We need to pray for vocations. For vocations to the priesthood, right? Because there is a shortage. There is a shortage right now. Let's pray for increased vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life, and also we can go out there and be missionaries and help people to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. All right, when we come back, Dr. John Bergsman will be here to talk about the covenant with Abraham. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Benedict. Benedict was born around 480 into a distinguished family in central Italy. After studying in Rome and being disillusioned by war and an accompanying loss of morality, he withdrew from the world, spending several years in a cave high in the mountains. When others joined him, requesting that he lead them, Benedict had the idea of gathering various families of monks into one grand monastery. He began to build what was to become one of the most famous monasteries in the world, Monte Cassino. The rule of Saint Benedict that gradually emerged from this community was based on a life of liturgical prayer, study, manual labor, and living together under a common head known as the abbot or father. Emphasis was placed on moderation in all things, hospitality for travelers, and concern for neighbors living in the countryside surrounding the monastery. Benedict died in 543. During the Middle Ages, all Western monasticism was gradually brought under Benedict's rule. The Church has been blessed through Benedictine devotion to the liturgy, not only in its actual celebration in the great abbeys, with rich and proper ceremony, but also through the scholarly studies of many of its members. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Joe DeFinis of DeFinis Insurance and Financial Group, an exclusive agency with Nationwide, providing auto, home, life, and commercial insurance, located in Roxborough with offices in Montgomery and Delaware counties. Joe can be reached at 215-483-4040. That's 215-483-4040.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the morning. with Gary Zimak.
Why in the world did I think I could only get to know you when my life was good? When everything just falls in place, the easiest thing is to give you praise. Now it all seems upside down, 'cause my whole world is caving in, but I feel you now more than I did then. I cannot come to the end of me and somehow still have all I need. God, I wanna know you more. Maybe this is how it starts. I find you when I fall apart. Blessed are the ones who understand. We got nothing to bring but empty hands. Yeah. Nothing to hide and nothing to prove. Yeah. Our heartbreak brings us back to you. Oh. And it all seems upside down.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Fall Apart by Josh Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you with us on the show. It's also great to be joined once again by our friend Dr. John Bergsma. He is a full professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We have been doing a series based on his book, Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. Dr. Bergsma, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Gary, it's so good to be with you this morning.
Likewise, my friend. Okay, so in the past few segments, we have talked about God made a covenant with Adam. That didn't work out so well. Then we had a covenant with Noah, and all seemed to be going okay with that. But as we pick up the story, there were some problems with Noah.
There were. In fact, we see right in Genesis 9 that we have what you might call the fall of Noah, where he consumes fruit and gets naked and is ashamed and places a curse on his descendants.
Wow.
You know, and you line it up like that and you realize, gosh, that is a kind of repeat of what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Of course, he gets drunk, he gets naked, etc. So it's kind of a fall of Noah, and sin re-enters into the human family.
And so let's talk about the mercy of God. God loves us so much that he doesn't say, as I probably would, John, all right, that's it. You had two chances. You're done. God said, all right, it's time for a new covenant. And he chooses a gentleman that we don't know a lot about, Abram.
That's true. But what Abram has is a great deal of trust in God, and that's probably his quality for which God chose him for the okay. mission that he had, and brought him, basically told him, hey, take off and go to a land, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, but when you get there, I'll tell you.
You know, I love that, and that's the part, and what's really timely about this is we've been hearing all about Abram, otherwise soon to be known as Abraham, in the first reading of Daily Mass for the past several weeks, but that's the part I love, that trust that he said, all right, Abram, come on with me. He didn't ask, where are we going? That would be the first question I would ask, but it was that trust, and I think we can all learn something from that trust.
Absolutely. That's why St. Paul calls him our father in faith.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. So God calls Abram, or we'll call him Abraham because that's what everybody knows him as, more or less. God calls him, Abraham, come with me, we're going somewhere. What exactly is happening here? And we don't know why he chose Abram, other than the fact that you said his great faith could be a reason, but he chose him. What is God doing here?
Well, you know, we've had two attempts. We had the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant, two initiatives by God to try to bring the human family into relationship with himself, okay. and they did not work out very well. And so now God is adopting a different approach, okay? It's kind of an infiltration approach. He's going to begin with Abraham, and then through Abraham's family, he's going to spread that blessing of being in a relationship with God to everyone else.
Now, he makes three promises to Abraham. Can you talk a little bit about the promises? And also, what's the difference between a promise and a covenant?
Yeah, you know, excellent questions. And when we're introduced to Abraham in Genesis 12, God says to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make your name great. And then through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And those are the three elements there of this promise. We can summarize it as great nation, great name, and great blessing to mm-hmm. the whole earth. And God gives us initially as promises to Abraham, a promise is like, as it were, an engagement ring. It's a form of commitment.
Okay.
But he then, in the rest of the story, actually raises those promises, Gary, to the level of a covenant, which is like changing out the engagement ring for a wedding ring. He makes them rock-solid, concrete commitments confirmed by the divine nature. So these promises become unbreakable.
Oh, okay. So when he promises to make of Abraham a great nation, what exactly does that entail? The fact that, okay, you're going to become a great nation. What does that mean?
Sure. It's looking forward to the people of Israel. And who would eventually under Moses be formed into a nation. And God kind of pre-enacts that or foreshadows that in Genesis 15. He comes down and makes a covenant with Abraham by mm-hmm. having Abraham cut these animals. And then we have smoke and we have fire. We have the mysterious divine presence in smoke and fire that moves through the animals. And he gives Abraham the promise of many descendants and a land of their own. And scholars have noticed that the imagery of fire and smoke and some of the other images that we have in Genesis 15 look forward to Mount Sinai, which is also going to be a place where a covenant is made with fire and smoke and mm-hmm. the mysterious presence of God. And these are linked up because later, many years later at Sinai, that's where God is going to form Abraham's descendants into that nation, where that promise is going to be fulfilled.
Okay, so God's putting a plan into place here, and he always operates in a very methodical way. He takes his time with this, and it's going to take a while for this to unfold. But, John, I have to ask you, one of the most confusing and distracting parts of this story is that deal with the animals. Animals cut in half, walking between the animals. That's weird. I'm sorry. What's going on there?
Yeah. First time I read it when I was a teenager, I'm thinking to myself, gosh, this is as crazy as Mark Twain, you know, and the cure for warts, right, from Huckleberry Finn, where you have to swing a dead cat around your head.
Yeah, exactly.
At midnight.
Right. What's going on here? Yeah.
Yeah. Why is this in the Bible? But actually, Gary, this ritual that Abraham performs is a very well-known practice in the ancient world.
Okay.
It was a covenant-making ritual because when you cut these animals in half and then walked between the pieces, what you were saying by doing that is, if I don't keep my promises, may I become like these dead animals.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, the beautiful and mysterious thing about this this event is that it's actually God walking through the animals, God taking upon himself a curse of death to confirm that he really will fulfill these promises. And there's a great mystery in that.
Wow, I did not realize that. When you look at it that way, it becomes really, really a very powerful story, a very powerful symbol there of what's going on between God and man through the person of Abraham.
Absolutely, and it even points forward to the cross, because in a mysterious way, it's at the cross where Jesus, God himself, takes on that curse of death, because the promises to Abraham weren't fulfilled. Why? Because of God's fault? No, because Abraham's descendants refused to cooperate generation after generation. But then that curse of death, should the covenant not be fulfilled, comes on God, who promised it.
Wow.
And so Jesus bears that curse, but simultaneous to bearing the curse, that also unleashes the Holy Spirit on the cross, which is actually the fulfillment of all the promises that were given to Abraham, the blessing of God being poured out to the nations, as we see from the flow of blood and water from the side of Christ being the symbol of the Holy Spirit flowing to the nations. So, we'd have to work it out a little bit more, but there's great mysteries here, Gary.
Yeah, and John, I really want to do that the next time you come on. I knew we wouldn't get through Abraham, and I didn't want to rush through this. The next time we have you on, I'd like to talk a little bit about the fall of Abraham, because even though it worked out in the end, there were some bumps in the road, and I think it's right, I mean, to say the least. And I think it's a good lesson for all of us who are trying to follow God's will. But I want to thank you for being on with us, and thank you for this great book, Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. Dr. Bergsma, where can we follow you online, or maybe invite you out to speak if you're able to do that?
Yes, absolutely. I speak all over the country, and
cool.
You can get a hold of me at CatholicBibleTeacher.com. We'll take you to my website where you can get my audio resources and click the little invite to speak button. And CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website.
Thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate you joining us. I know you're on the road, and thanks for taking the time to be with us. God bless you, John.
You bet. Thanks. Talk to you next month.
All right. Sounds good. Dr. John Bergsma with his segment, Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. He's fleshing out some of these mysteries that I have, these questions
Absolutely.
That I've always had,
Absolutely.
Dave, about various things that took place in the Bible.
No pun intended, fleshing out.
There you go.
Just walking between the cut in half animals.
Yeah, that's one of those things
that'll get your attention.
Always distracted me, and you just kind of either skip over those things or investigate them further. He did a good job explaining
it. Oh, perfect job.
Great job, Dr. Bergsma. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Elizabeth Scalia to talk about our job as missionaries. You want to hear this? Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The man who set up a meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer during last year's presidential campaign says it occurred at the behest of a Moscow-based singer with family ties to Trump's businesses. Trump Jr. concedes he made time for the meeting, organized by music publicist Rob Goldstone, hoping to get information about Hillary Clinton. The New York Times says Goldstone told Trump Jr. ahead of the session that the Russian government was behind the information on Clinton. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, meanwhile, says the victory of Iraqi forces over the Islamic State group in Mosul is a critical milestone in the world's fight against the extremist group. Tillerson is congratulating Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi for the victory, while also praising Kurdish forces that have helped in the fight. He's also sending condolences to those lost in the operation. Tillerson will be traveling between Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia throughout this week. And Pope Francis is sending one of his newest cardinals to Korea in order to help achieve peace there. Celebrating a mass in his native El Salvador, newly created Cardinal Gregorio Rosa Chavez said his first major assignment will be to travel to South Korea for a meeting on how to achieve peace with North Korea. Rosa Chavez, who worked closely with Blessed Oscar Romero before he was assassinated in 1980, was praised for his role in negotiations that brought peace to El Salvador after 12 years of civil war. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
There'll be a Fatima Day, celebrating the centennial of the Fatima apparitions, taking place on Thursday, July 13th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Our Lady's Missionaries of the Eucharist, 640 East Main Street in Birdsboro. The celebration includes adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's Fatima Day, Thursday, July 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Our Lady's Missionaries of the Eucharist in Birdsboro.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In her book, No Greater Love, Mother Teresa recalled finding a poverty-stricken little girl on the street of Calcutta and taking her to the Missionaries of Charity's Children's Home. There, they gave her food and clothes, but after several hours, the little girl ran away. A few days later, Mother Teresa found her again and brought her back, but this time she instructed one of the sisters to follow the girl when she left. The sister did so and found she went to her mother, who was living under a tree in the street where she did her cooking. Mother Teresa wrote, "I went there and asked the little girl, 'How is it that you would not stay with us?' She answered, 'I could not live without my mother. She loves me.'" That incident taught Mother Teresa about the fulfilling love and power of family. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Sometimes all we have to hold on to is what we know is true of who you are. So when the heartache hits like a hurricane, that could never change who you are. And we trust in who you are. Even if the healing doesn't come and life falls apart and dreams are still undone, you are God, you are good, forever faithful one. Even if the healing doesn't come, Lord, we know your ways are not our ways, so we set our faith God, you are good, forever faithful one. and life falls apart, and dreams are still undone. You are God, you are good.
And that was Even If by Cutlass. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. The message of that song is a powerful one. We pray for a healing. What if the healing that we pray for doesn't come? What do you do then? Sometimes the Lord gives us a different healing. That's hard. That's a difficult thing, but it's a great way to really to further your relationship with the Lord, too. If you don't get the immediate, the exact answer to your prayer that you expected, say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me from that? Difficult, but it is worth pursuing. Recently, the U.S. CCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, sponsored a convocation of Catholic leaders in Orlando, Florida. You're probably aware that it happened, but many people are wondering, well, what exactly was the purpose of that, and does it affect me in any way? Well, Elizabeth Scalia recently wrote an article, What Was Catholic Convo Actually About? Well, hold on to your hats. This got my attention, and I invited her on the show to talk about it. Elizabeth is she's the editor-at-large at Alatea.org. She's the award-winning author of Strange Gods, Unmasking the Idols in Everyday Life, and Little Sins Mean a Lot, Kicking Our Bad Habits Before They Kick You. She joins us now to talk about this, and I think you're going to be surprised at the outcome of this convocation. Elizabeth, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about this. So we're supposed to become missionaries?
Yes, basically that was the gist.
Wow.
Of the convocation in Orlando, which I, like most of us, had to kind of watch from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But 3,000 people and something like 80 U.S. bishops descended on Orlando, and they weren't at all looking for Mickey Mouse or Minnie or a ride on Thunder Mountain. They were kind of doing their own little Thunder Mountain thing in exploring the Evangelium Gay, Gaudia Evangelium. You know, it's a little early in the morning. You know,
I hear you. The joy of the gospel. That's what I like to always say.
Thank you. The joy of the gospel.
Right. It's easier.
Anyway, excuse me. So they got together, and it was a time for parishes. Bishops to invite the leaders of their parishes. This wasn't, you know, every mover and shaker in Catholic media.
Right.
Although there were some celebrities there, you know, Audrey Assad was there, and Matthew Marr, and a lot of other good musicians. But it was mostly parish leaders, just the people in the pews, the people on the parish councils. And it was all about, you know, what are we going to do? What's our plan for, you know, taking the joy of the gospel and actually putting it out there. And as I was listening to Bishop Barron and Sean O'Malley and all of them, that's what I kept hearing. We are about to become missionaries. And that's a pretty exciting and also slightly scary idea.
It is, because I think as Catholics, we sometimes like our comfort zone, and we don't want to really, we don't like to be told that we're supposed to evangelize. A lot of us think that, well, no, that's not my job. That's the priest's job. That's the deacon's job. That's the bishop's job. Me, I just go to Mass. But we are called, right?
Right, go to Mass. I put my envelope in.
That's right.
You know, maybe I sing in the choir, and that's you know, I'm doing my bit, and that is certainly doing your bit.
Right.
You know, it keeps the church going, it helps the community of the church at worship, it brings us together for this all important thing. But there's more to it than that. We're going to start reaching out to the people we don't normally talk to, because the world is so divided. This is such a timely thing, because this is such a divided world and such a distracted world. And if you think about, you know, where does a missionary go? the missionary goes to the place where they do not know the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And they bring Jesus to him. This is missionary stripped down to the early church level, the first missionary, St. Thomas, going to India, you know, places like that. And these are people who have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't know the good news. We, as missionaries, in a way, almost are going to have something more difficult to do because we're going to be missionaries in this new land that's kind of an untamed, faithless jungle where live streams leave no room for casting out into the deep and they bear no relation to living waters. You know, this is a place full of relativistic engagement and everything that we've always known has kind of become unfamiliar and strange to them, right down to, you know, simple biology. You know, nothing is being looked at properly. So you have these situations, and then you have the added difficulty with the fact that, you know, these people have heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they've heard it a million times. Maybe they think they know all about him. And they've been completely dismissive because Jesus is the head of the big church of no.
Right.
You know, so now this is an added difficulty because now what is the evangelical plan to get these people to understand that they've got, among many wrong ideas in their heads, a wrong idea about the church.
That's right.
And that isn't, we stand at a street corner and we yell at them that they're sinners and Jesus is going to get them and they're going to go to hell unless they're saved. It means we do what Jesus did. And Jesus was the ultimate incarnational missionary, you know.
Right.
And he did what all the missionaries who were effective did afterwards. He went to the people and lived with them and ate with them and got to know them and helped them bury their dead and not just above them but among them and with them. And that's kind of the big, giant, enormous challenge to us. Get to know the people that you think you have nothing to say to. And then after you've seen them and gotten to know them, you teach them about Jesus.
I love it. And you're hitting on a couple of key points that are just critical. That division, and I see it on social media, I see it just in the world in general, that division not only exists between Catholics and non-Catholics, I'm seeing division within the Catholic Church itself.
Some very serious division
right?
within the Church, and it's very, very painful for all of us. Those of us who are engaged in media, we have to look at every story and say, okay, who is this going to offend? Because
there's almost
a point where everybody has a built-in offense mechanism, not a defense mechanism, an offense mechanism, where it's like, let me look at this article and see what I can be angry about today. You can almost predict what the email responses are going to be to something.
I know.
It's really sad, because that means people have stopped thinking, and everybody's on autopilot.
Exactly. And the thing is, I look around, and I see Catholics, I see people in general, but I see Catholics who are not joyful, who are miserable for any number of different reasons. Some of the things, they just seem to want to be miserable, and it's up to us to try to change that. One of the points that you make in the blog post, and I really love this, you said, after all, good missionaries do not demand holiness of people before they are allowed to meet Jesus. Rather, they allow people to meet Christ Jesus, and he fosters within them a desire to become holy. I think sometimes we get that backwards.
Wow, that's good.
Well, that's the gospel in a nutshell,
isn't
it? I mean, if you think about it, even if the apostles didn't like someone, or even if they said, what were you doing talking to that person? That's the wrong person for you to be talking to.
Right.
Nobody was kept from Jesus. They were allowed to have an encounter with him, and the encounter with Christ is what made people turn around and say, hey, you know, come see a guy who told me everything I've ever done wrong in my whole life. And people, I love that story because it's so full of instruction, and one of the first bits about it is that Jesus didn't come up to this woman at the well and say, hey, you're a lousy Samaritan woman, but I'll condescend to talk to you anyway.
Get me a drink, woman.
You know, he sat down and he had a conversation with her. And during the conversation, he said, hey, you know, if you drank this living water, you know, you'd never be thirsty again. And she's like, hey, well, tell me about that water because I'm tired of hauling it back and forth every day.
That's right.
And, you know, let me get my husband. And he's like, well, you don't have a husband.
Right.
And she said, I don't have a husband. He goes, well, yeah, that's true. You've had five of them.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is even though he told her the truth about herself, he didn't do it in a way that says, you know, you're a sinner.
Exactly.
Instead, he just kept talking to her about heaven.
Exactly.
Acknowledged where her sin was, acknowledged that she was not living her life correctly.
Right.
But didn't badger her about it and just kept talking about heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's a perfect missionary message.
Exactly. And that encounter with Christ has to happen first. And that's what we try to do here on this show. I mean, it's a challenge sometimes, but I'm not going to win souls for Christ by telling somebody what a big sinner he is. Right? I mean, let me introduce him to Christ first and say, hey, we're all sinners. Meet my friend Jesus.
Yeah, and that's really the way it has to be done. Somebody was talking to me, not too happy with this piece we're referencing, actually, and was saying, well, you know, prodigal son, when the prodigal son came home, he didn't sin anymore. And I said, that's very true. I said, but the father ran out to him while he was still a long way off.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Helped lead him back into
Amen.
The house. You know, every word of Scripture is there for a reason. We can't just ignore little pieces of it. It's a whole, and it's not just, Mark didn't say, let me just throw this bit in here for some narrative thrust. You know,
right.
Every word that's
right.
there is meant for us to be paying attention to. Not just the big story that nails in our point, but the little line before it that goes, oh, I didn't think of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Elizabeth, believe it or not, we only have about 30 seconds left. This has been fantastic. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time. I still would like to get you back on to talk about Little Sins Mean a Lot, because I love that book.
That's a fun book.
Yeah, so would you come back someday?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, not to put any pressure on you that we're doing this on the air, but that's what I like to do. Elizabeth Scalia, thank you so much. And remind our listeners where we can follow you online.
Aletea.org is Aletea.org, and that's how you say it, Aletea.
Beautiful. And I will have that linked at Spirit in the Morning, just in case anybody forgets how to spell it. Elizabeth, thank you so much. God bless you.
Have a good day.
All Bye-bye. Right, you too. Elizabeth Scalia talking about our job as missionaries. We got to get out there and spread the good news. We'll be back with your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 9:32, a demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The people there were amazed at this. The Gospel says that he went around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and curing every illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And this is why he founded his church. He continues to shepherd his people under the guidance of his vicar on earth, the Bishop of Rome. It is significant that the Pope's staff is not in the shape of a hook, but has a crucifix at its end. It is through the fruit of the Lord's passion that his sheep are fed, even today. How much do you hunger? How much do you thirst? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Control. Whoa.
Are you worried about the future? Relax. Why? Because God's already there. Think about that. He is outside of time. He knows what's coming. Even if you're surprised by something that happens in your life, God is never surprised. He's got it. Relax. Turn to Him. That was Casting Crowns. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:53. Let's take one more look at the weather. Today it's going to be we're going to have a slight chance of showers. Then after 11 a.m., a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny. High near 93 tonight. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. We'll have a low around 76 Wednesday. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 7 a.m. Then partly sunny with a high near 92 degrees.
Wow.
Want to mention one thing on the program tomorrow. We were scheduled to have Monsignor Pope with us. He forgot that he has mass to do. He has a special mass to do tomorrow. So we're going to postpone that. We will do, we'll get him back in the near future as soon as we can. He definitely wants to come on the show, but I apologize for that. I am working to get a special guest for the program tomorrow. We're going to have Tony Agnese. Tony's special, but we're going to get another special guest on the program tomorrow. Let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. You ever ask for something and you don't get an answer? And you say, why, Lord? Why are you not answering me? Well, sometimes He is answering you, but not in the way you expect. But listen to this. This comes from St. James, from James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, that's not always why God says no, but sometimes we're praying for, you know, maybe we want to hit the lottery. And what are we going to do with that money? Now, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But what if we pray to hit the lottery so that we could just quit our job, lie on the beach for the rest of our lives and do nothing? That could be problematic because what's going to happen is we're going to put more of our faith in money than in the Lord's providence. Again, nothing wrong with money. There's nothing intrinsically evil about money itself, but sometimes it's not the best thing for certain people. Sometimes, Dave Parker, we have a problem with greed.
Well, as it says, it's wrong because we focus on what would be our passion, whatever money, fame, you know, materialism, and that takes us away from the good Lord.
Right. And I want to mention one thing about that idea of praying for money, because I've heard it said to me you should never pray for money. That is absolutely false. Because Jesus understands we have bills to pay. I mean, that's that's totally wrong. But what we want to be careful about, as Dave said, is money or possessions or whatever it is, prestige, is it becoming a false god? You got to be careful about that. Even though we don't think we have idols, we have a lot of false idols in our lives. And we just have to be careful. It's a balance. Day to day, we walk that fine line, Frank Eliason.
We do.
That's one of the reasons we're here. That's why we started this show. We want to help you and help ourselves to get closer to the Lord and keep that focus, because it's a very distracting and noisy world out there.
And so going back to the homily, you know, with Archbishop Chaput that we'll have later on today, the big conversation from the readings this week is about humbleness and meekness.
Wow.
And so, you know, there's a very powerful message for each one of us. And sometimes it's hard for us to even see it amongst ourselves. And so he does a really nice job of walking you towards that. So that's later on today at 3:40.
In his gentle way.
That's correct.
And Frank, as a social media expert, I think you see this. Sometimes it's hard to be humble when we have that vehicle of social media. Why? Because everybody needs to care about what I have to say.
And I'm the most important and everything else. And the other piece to it is, and just to throw another word out there, and it's all these buzz terms, but empathy. And what I would say is we fail to sometimes see other sides of things. We're trying to, you know, portray ourselves as I'm the best at whatever. And we don't show empathy. And this not only is us as individuals, it is across the board of people that are, you know, popular people who are doing these things in social media and whatnot. They're failing to show this empathy for people. And it's missing. And it's causing this, you know, this great destruction and combative nature between groups. Mm-hmm. You know what? Why don't you try and see that other side a little
empathy.
Bit?
Empathy. Walking in another person's shoes. That's basically. Try doing that.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. That's what Jesus does. He sees each one of us and meets us where we are. He doesn't necessarily want us to stay there. He wants us to get better, but we got to meet one another where we are. I want to close today with a prayer that's very special to this radio station, St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to inspire us. He lives in us. He's right inside of us, and he dwells in us, and he can help us. He can control our thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts, our actions, we get out of whack. Let's do this prayer, St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen.
The great prayer. Love that prayer.
Thank you, Gary.
St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Again, that's very, very powerful prayer, and one that means a lot to everyone at Holy Spirit Radio.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit can give us guidance in everything in this world.
It's what we need. That's why we're here at Holy Spirit Radio, to hopefully let him speak through us. I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, God's with you. All you need to do is remember to turn around and say hello. Also, try to introduce somebody to him today. It may make a big difference in their lives. God bless you. Talk to you next time.